That's right, no other, my mother. Who should I take good care of, giving all my love? Who should I think the most of after Allah? And Rasulullah, come your mother. Who next? Your mother. Who next? Your mother.
اللهم لبيك نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمن بالخير. A very very warm welcome to the very very special Ramadan kids. Alhamdulillah, in the blessed month of Ramadan. So how exciting it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the tawfiq that we are meeting today in the blessed month of Ramadan. So ahlan wa sahlan marhaba bikum and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's peace, His mercy and His blessings be upon you all, mashallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you tremendously for all the efforts to seek His nearness. Alhamdulillah. Let us take a few seconds and remind ourselves why we are here, marking our labbaik, inshallah, and thinking about the angels surrounding us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us make this time witness that we were here together just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Alhamdulillah. So exciting, mashallah. Many of you are sharing that you are fasting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you a lot. And when you are fasting, it's a very blessed time. In case somebody's trying to push you to limits, all you need to reply is ana fa'imun. I am fasting, right? Alhamdulillah. Yes, Dasha, that is beautiful. This Ramadan, let's make a chart of reminders and we can remember even after Ramadan. Exactly. We are here to train ourselves in this blessed month and inshallah so that we take these qualities and can apply us to the rest of the year. So go ahead and type one if yes, you were able to give mom and dad a big hug and you were ready for the class. Alhamdulillah, and let me see your supplies, your materials, anything that you want to share, you want to show, go ahead. This is the time for you to shine. And we were last time doing something really special, and that was visiting the sick. So anybody was able to use that dua? Anybody had an experience with anybody who was sick and they made this dua for them? They said this. It was beautiful to hear you in the group. And mashallah, tabarakallah, we feel so blessed for all the amazing teachers who are able to listen to you, correct to you, mashallah. I'm so proud of all the ones. And always, my friends, always take the prayers of your parents. If you want to be, how many of you want to be successful, by the way? How many of you want to be happy? Right? So yes, mashallah. Jazakallah khair. I love these Ramadan Mubarak that you're pouring in. Mashallah. Yes, Ramadan is a very blessed month. It's a month full of blessings and barakah. And on the night of the Ramadan, a caller calls out and says, Ya Baghi al Khair Aqbil. O seeker of goodness, come forward. So alhamdulillah that you already pre-planned your time for khair and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, put lots and lots of barakah for you. So never underestimate this hug that you gave your mom and dad. Genuinely wrap your arms around them. Let them know how special they are and how thankful you are for all that they do. All right. If you have any special statement that you say to your mom and dad, you can write it in the chat box and let me know what is something that you say especially to your parents. And I am still trying to see where, if I can see your notes and everything, right? So go ahead, you want to turn the cameras on for a minute? Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbi yassir wa la ta'assir wa tamim bil khair. All right, so I see Michelle. Mashallah, Michelle, how are you? Good. Alhamdulillah. All right. So you have your materials. Are you sitting with your materials, friends? So let me make sure that I can see you. Yes. Okay. And definitely you can send us your decorations or anything that you are decorating your house and how lovely it looks and how you are preparing. You can certainly send us that, inshallah. MashaAllah, Anaya, that is beautiful. Preparation, excellent. Okay. All right. Alhamdulillah. Excellent. All right. Very nice. MashaAllah, Burhan. Excellent. So who would like to, let's do that with a quick recap. Who would like to say the dua of visiting the sick? Okay. So raise your hand. And Burhan has raised his hand. So go ahead. Visiting the sick dua. Burhan. Yes, Burhan. There's some issue with your mic, maybe. I'm not sure. Okay, Anaya, go ahead.
As'alullah al-azim, rabb al-arsh al-azim, ayyatiyak.
MashaAllah. And how many times do we have to say it? Awad, how many times do we have to say it?
Seven times.
Seven times, mashallah. So I'm going to give you guys the annotate options. So go ahead and you can put stars. Those who think that, yes, they did that thing, they did their homework last time, then you can put a star next to it. And the star is in your palette. And it looks like this, like, alhamdulillah, I had to talk to one or two people who were sick, so I was able to say the dua. I hope you said this too. Now, who would like to recite Surah Humazah for us? Go ahead and raise your hand, the surah that we did last time. And we got lots and lots of reminders for us. Yes, I like those small stars. Those who are making the stars with the free hand, try to learn how to take the star from the palette, okay? We have this palette. And then you can use it and you can clear from your side and switch to small stars so we can all shine together. Okay, go ahead, Zulkarnain. Surah Humazah, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. ويل لكل همزة لمزة الذي جمع مالا وعدده يحسب أن ماله أخلده كلا لينبذن في الحطمة وما أدراك ما الحطمة نار الله الموقدة التي تطلع على الأفئدة إنها عليهم مؤصدة في عمد ممددة.
ما شاء الله تبارك الله بارك الله في اللهم لا تجعلنا منهم الله سبحانه وتعالى protect us to be make us of those inshallah and mashallah to all those who were contributing in writing. I just want to show you one more time. When you want to make a star, you can just go to the stamps, okay, just like this, and you can put a star like beautiful recitation, mashallah. So for Zulkanan, that was incredible, beautiful, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you in your ilm, in your amal, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all recite beautifully the way the Quran should be recited, okay. And the last and final thing that I had told you last time was that you should be able to have a discussion at home regarding the pillar of Iman, and that was belief in prophets. So if you can tell me at least one thing about the pillar of the prophet, then you can tell me, you can raise your hands and you can tell us if you had a discussion at your home regarding the fourth pillar that we had discussed together. Remember, we did Amantu Billahi wa Malaikatihi wa Kutubihi wa Rusuli, right? So Alhamdulillah. Yes, now you guys want to try the star still? I can give you this option, but who would like to share something that you remember from the pillar of Iman? Go ahead and raise your hand, inshallah. And no more like making big, huge, gigantic stars, okay, friends? Just put some stamps if you like. Go ahead. Okay, Nabi Abdul.
Believe in angels, believe in the book of Allah,
Yes, very good. But I wanted to know, like, did you had a discussion about the prophets with your parents? Like, you know, you had a discussion at home regarding your belief in the prophets?
First class.
Yes? Alhamdulillah. So we discussed there were so many prophets sent and there were 25 mentioned in the Quran. So you were supposed to, like, discuss that at home. Awad, go ahead.
Sorry, that was an accident.
Okay, no problem. But did you have a discussion at home regarding the prophets? Do you discuss what you learn at home?
Not all the time, but not this week. I didn't.
Not this week. Okay, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your being so honest, and that's so beautiful. Nermeen? Nermeen Fatma, can you hear me? Okay, maybe there is an issue with your mic. I'm not able to hear you, sweetie. Okay, so inshallah, we are with that in mind. Whatever we are learning, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us apply that. And I am going to say one time that knowledge demands, and you will say action. Okay, so 1, 2, 3. Knowledge demands.
Action.
Excellent. And we all love action, right? We all love action-packed videos. We all love action-packed games. So imagine yourself in the game of this life, and we acquire knowledge, then it demands action, right? So inshallah, like this morning, one of my daughter was saying, oh, you know, I feel a little bit pain in my stomach. And then I was able to use this dua. And when I said this dua, she was smiling. So alhamdulillah, we need to apply what we learn, okay? Whatever we learn, we apply that. So today's goal, inshallah, is that we get some gems from the Quran. We learn something from Seerah. We add one more dua in our life. So we learn that over the week and we start applying it, apply it in our life, okay? Like the dua visiting the sick, if you don't feel very well, you can even say, Allahumma inna as'aluka, as'alullah al-azim, rabbal arshil azim, ayn yashfiyani, that you cure me. So you can even say it for yourself as well, okay? So you start applying that in your life. And pillars of Iman should be making you a very, very strong believer, inshallah. All right? And La ilaha illallah, Muslim say it loudly. La ilaha illallah, Muslim say it proudly. So you will become a very, very better person, inshallah. All right? And alhamdulillah, at this time, what do you think the first thing we're going to do now? Yes? What is the first thing we're going to do? The Quran time, alhamdulillah. So you have your notebooks in front of you, and inshallah we will all try to focus. We try to help you as teachers, we try to help you focus more by making sure that nobody's turning on the camera, there's nothing coming on the text prompt, and so that you can take undivided attention and you can write your notes, okay? And then if you have any questions, concerns, you want to talk about something, let's do it towards the end so that we can have a very well-rounded discussion. So the surah we are doing today is called Surah Al-Takathur, okay? With a sa, it's a soft letter, okay? So, and I will know what needs to happen, okay? So you focus yourself. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you become a strong believer, it's like you have the restraint on top of your own self. Okay? So we will be asked only about my own self. And I'm sitting here, I'm not thinking about anybody else except for myself. I am going to make this time very valuable for me, inshallah. So it becomes very heavy on the day of judgment. So I expect all my students at this time, just focus about yourself. Think about the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around you. And let's make it very productive. No need to say sorry, but it's just a reminder. We all need reminders, right? So this surah, this name is Takathur. I need the chat box open. Why? Because I wanted to ask you, what is a word that looks very similar or sounds very similar to Takathur? You have used it several times in your life. I hope, you know, I think that this is something that you've used it. So think about, you know, this word, something similar to this word. Okay, Kausar, very good. Rahim, very good. Kausar sounds close. Anything else? Think about the term that we say for saying a thank you to somebody. What comes afterwards that? Let's see if you can get this from that clue. Okay, when we say thank you Islamically to somebody. Okay, Mohib has his hand raised up. Okay, Mohib, you want to say something? No, okay. No problem. All right. So, yeah, very good. Jazakallah khairan. And what comes after that? What comes after Jazakallah khairan? Sometimes people say it. Excellent. MashaAllah, Tabarakallah, Laika, and Rahim, and Fatima, MashaAllah. So you see the similarity? Kathira. We say, Jazakallahu khairan kathira. Like, I feel like from the bottom of my heart, when you guys are, MashaAllah, acting so nice in the classroom, I feel like saying to all of my student families who are here together so nicely, that Jazakallahu khairan, may Allah reward you with khair, kathira. Means in abundance. Okay, so this kathira is the same root word kaf, sa, and ra. And here in takathur is also the same root word, and what it means, abundance. So we're going to find out what this surah is all about. So inshallah, let's get our focus by taking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's envelope ourselves with his mercy. Barakallah fi Zashna, thank you for being here in the class. So inshallah, let's now our pens and our notebooks, and inshallah let's write that Surah Takathur is and let's say together, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Your turn. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
And these two statements are very powerful statements to give you protection and to bring the blessings in your life. The verse number one, very short. Alhaakumut takathur.
Alhaakumut takathur.
Okay. You need to pay attention. This sa is a soft letter, okay? So you're going to say that. This alhakumu is coming from the same word as lam ha wow. Alhakum is like a past tense, okay? And lam ha wa is like lahu, is basically means like entertainment. The literal meaning of this is like entertainment. Lahav means entertainment. And it basically means something can keep you busy and take away from your productive time. So basically, alhakum, the diversion to you, it basically means that you started doing something that of less value, of less significance, and left something which was of important value aside. For example, if right now you are touching the camera, you are touching the microphone, you are trying to raise your hand, you're trying to type something, it's just diverting you. Okay, at this time, it should be just your notes, your mushaf next to you maybe, and you can keep on trying saying these words in a better and a better and a better way. And even while listening, you can be doing zikr. Okay, so alhakum diverts you. At-takasur. What is takasur? The kasra, the kasir, of what? The competition to increase. Okay, and we will talk about what do people compete to increase. Right, there are people who try to keep on increasing their knowledge, there are people who try to keep on increasing their material things, there are people who try to increase their valuables, the things in life. So there is lots and lots of things that people are chasing in this world. So that's where this first verse comes into picture. Okay, there are friends who just want to increase their toys, there are friends who just want, they want to go from one version of their gadget to the next level, to the next level. When you are in a game, you want to go to the next level and the next level and the next level. So alhaakumut takasur, the diverts you, striving for more distracts you, it diverts you. Verse number 2, hatta zurtumul maqabir. Your turn.
Hatta zurtumul maqabir.
Alhamdulillah, every letter is 10 good deeds or more. So, and remember, we are in Ramadan, so the rewards increase even further. So, hatta, until, zurtum, you visited. It's same word like ziyara, when you go to visit someplace. Al-maqabir, it's the similar word to qabr, okay? Qabr is like a grave. So, until you go into your grave or until you visit the grave. So let's find out what will happen. So you remember the first picture that we had in which we saw the name of the surah with the grave there. So that is a place. How many of you think that no matter what we have or not have, we will eventually go to a grave? That's number of type option number one. Yes, we will eventually go back to Allah and we will visit we will be in a grave. And option number two, no, my games can save me. I will not die. Yeah, there are many people because of COVID, let's say people are dying or something else is happening. But for me, no. I will skip it. I will not be there. SubhanAllah. So alhamdulillah, this class is happening with believers like you and I see these wonderful ones. But even if I'm doing a session with non-believers, even if I'm sitting with people who call them atheists, even if I'm sitting with people who are Christians or Jews or any other religion on this whole wide world, and I ask them this question, that can you divert? Can you like skip going into a grave? Can you skip it? They cannot say true. They all know that we came from somewhere and we will have to go back. We will die. Yes, they might, you know, there are people who are still trying, oh, you know, when they die, they put them in a certain way or something, but they will eventually die. So, alhamdulillah. So, let's find out. Yes, that's a homework for you, Nermeen Fatma. Okay, you guys are very smart. So, that is something really simple, quick facts. You can pull up from any website. It will give it to you. Okay, you're very smart ones, mashallah. So, let's go to the verse number 3. كلا سوف تعلمون. Your turn.
كلا سوف تعلمون.
Very good. So كلا means nay. So it's very like strong. And sofa, remember from the tone, sofa and soon. So wherever in the Quran you see this word sofa, you will know that there's a time frame involved. Soon. And ta'alamun is a similar root word as ilm. And what is ilm? Ilm is knowledge, right? So, kalla sawfa ta'lamun, soon you will know. All right. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding again. So no, indeed you will come to know. Your turn. Inshallah, on our recitation, we are going to stop here and we will talk about what you are going to know. But summa also has a time duration involved. So it's like then, kalla ne, sawfa soon, ta'alamun, you will know. If you have written down these words on your notebook, do you know these reappear in the Quran thousands of times? So if you pay attention to this one word, kalla, next time you recite the Quran at many places, you will know that, right? Yes, so sawfa is seen. It's not paused. Jazakallah khair for your message there. Yes, so it's sawfa ta'alamun, so with a seen, okay? So, and then ta'alamun is you will know. And that appears so many times in the Quran, like ilm in action. So what did we learn from these first four verses? And I want you to think more about these verses and we will talk more about the ending tomorrow. But today, you know, I need to ask you is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the competition to increase your blessings diverted you. Okay, and we are given a lot of blessings. For example, right now I feel so blessed that I have so many wonderful students sitting in this classroom, right? You're all like a blessing to me at this time. But it all depends, are these blessings taking me towards Allah, or are these blessings, you know, God forbid I start becoming proud and I'm like, oh wow, look at that and this and that, and I become so arrogant about it, then this can even take me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's really, really important that we check. So go ahead at this time, each one of you can type one blessing that you have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? What are the blessings that Allah has given you? Or what is something that people try to increase in this life? What have you seen people try to increase? Some people, you know, they try to build their stamina to become like best athletes and things, right? MashaAllah, beautiful reflections you are writing. So you are going to see now, you love your parents, you love your family. Now check yourself, ask yourself, you know, these blessings, let's say my family, are they making me, helping me come towards Allah? Or is my family making me go away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Pretty scary, huh? But, you know, when we think about hatta zurtumul maqabir, and we think, oh my God, grave. By the way, how many of you feel scared talking about grave? So type one, if you feel scared when you talk about grave and dying and death, you feel scared, right? Okay, so we all feel scared, right? So let's write big in your notes. Don't be scared, be prepared. Can you all say that? One, two, three, your turn. Don't be scared, be prepared. Your turn.
Be scared, be prepared.
If you are scared or if you are not scared, we will have to go there, right? So it's really important that today you take a piece of paper, you write all the blessings that you have. Go ahead and keep writing your blessings. What other blessings do you think you have? Right now, the ability of you to type on this text. Some of you are typing, it's helping me becoming focused. That is a word I wanted to write for you here, and I hope you can write this here for your notes as well. So some of the blessings helps us focus. Okay, like I have this beautiful colors here Allah has given me in the palette. I go and I change my color and now it's making me focus more on the word I've written, right? So this is making me focus. But some of the blessings that, you know, I have will make me distract. They will make me divert my attention from the task. So look at how some of the friends are even in this classroom. Some of my friends in the classroom, they help me get more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of the friends, they just type silly stuff and, you know, they'll keep on typing 1111111 or something like this. It takes you away. Because why? It diverts you. It distracts your energy, right? SubhanAllah. So today onwards, I want you to think of every blessing that Allah has given you. When you recite this surah, think about every blessing that Allah has given you and just think about, is it taking me towards Allah or is it taking me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All right. Inshallah, we will do a more detailed discussion about this, but we are very excited to go towards Sira right now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us stay focused and make the most use of our time, inshallah. So, Jazakallah khair. And let's move to Sira with full focus, inshallah.
Jazakallah khairan kathiran kathira, dear kids, and Jazakallah khairan kathira, sister Jawaria. Alhamdulillah. Indeed, it was a very beneficial session and a lot of things to learn. Okay, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Once again, let's start. Wa alaikum assalam burhan. Alhamdulillah. So how's everyone doing? How's Ramadan? And how's the different Ramadan this year? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil alameen. I'm good. It's epic. It's great. Good. Alhamdulillah. For all those who are used to and habituated to go to masjid and pray in congregation and enjoy the community iftars, how is it praying at home, being home and praying with the family? Not tiring. Yes, that's true. Even I feel the same thing. When we go out, it's so different. Fun? Alhamdulillah. How many of you made special salah corners for yourself? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, that's nice. Yes, we also made a special corner for ourselves in our home to pray. So that whenever we have to pray five times, any extra prayers, anything, we just go to that spot. So it brings more focus and more concentration. We do Taraweeh, very good, Muhib. We pray more. Alhamdulillah, you made a masajid, mashallah, Shami. Turning living room into a small masjid. Alhamdulillah, good. And any hafiz or any students who are learning Quran who are leading their family in Taraweeh? MashaAllah, Mustafa. Very good. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, Zed, Tassat, Laika, Zayan, Var. MashaAllah. Amazing. You guys are amazing. Super duper kids. Alhamdulillah. I'm so proud of you all. Inshallah, Biznillah. Let's continue. Let's start with our Sira session. Let's start with the du'as. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul uqadatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbi yassir wa la tu'assir wa tammim bil khair. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabikina Muhammad. Okay, so since we're going to start with the Sira session, how many of us already said durood? Send salam, send blessings on Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Good job, Laika. Let's all of us do it together. You can say whichever you guys want to. Durud, it has to be very quick and small. Like I like to say when it's time crunch, that Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. So I will unmute you all. 1, 2, 3, and let's do it. Alhamdulillah. Great job. Okay, Zulqarnain, what does Summa mean? Okay. Yes, and inshallah, Zulqarnain, your question, what does Summa mean? Inshallah, inshallah. Sister Jawaria will definitely go over it, maybe today or tomorrow. So let's continue. Let's see some quick reviews from the last time. Let's do a quick trivia. And let me see who all are very swift and very fast in typing. Who is a Muslim? Who is a Muslim? Me, very good, Maryam. Yes, me too, alhamdulillah. But what is the definition of Muslim? Okay. Someone who submits to the will of Allah. Excellent, Saima. Alhamdulillah, follows Islam. And then who's the kuffar? Who's the kuffar? Disbeliever. Someone who does not submit they are built to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Disbelievers, yes, but the exact definition is the one who does not submit. Very good, Zasha. And what, anyone remembers the singular of kuffar? Let me see. Anyone remembers? Kafir. Excellent. Yes. And then the next thing would be, what did the people back after accepting Islam immediately do? What did they do? Once they accepted Islam, what did they do? They preached. Very good, Zayan. Yes. Everyone is typing so fast. Pass it on, Hassan. They preached, alhamdulillah. And this is a tricky question. Let's see who remembers. Who was the first martyr of Islam? Who was the first martyr of Islam? Anyone remember? Khadija, no. She was the first believer, Khadija. Sumayya. Yes, Zasha wrote Sumayya and someone else also wrote Sumayya. Let me go back and see. Zaid Abdul. Alhamdulillah. Yes, it was Hazrat Sumayya. She was the first, and Yasir. Alhamdulillah. They were the first martyrs of Islam, radiallahu anhuma. And what happened after Umar radiallahu anha accepted Islam? Let's see who remembers this. What happened? Power came to the believers. Alhamdulillah. You don't know, Laika? Yes. After Umar radiallahu anha, and who accepted Islam, he became the strength of the believers. And the believers were able to pray openly in around the Kaaba. Until he became Muslim, the believers were yet scared, and they would pray in segregations which were in private, not in public. Yes, power came to Islam, alhamdulillah. And what were the teachings of Islam? What were the teachings of Islam? We did four different teachings last week. So any one, two, three, how many you can try? Tawheed, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, believe in Allah. What was next? Yes, believe in Allah. Good job. Okay. And Quran. Okay. Yes. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay. Prophets. Yes. Believe in different prophets, but especially the Seerah session taught us that it was Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes. Alhamdulillah, angels, Quran, books, excellent. And what else? The day of judgment. Very good, Laika. Day of judgment. And what would Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to the believers, say to the new Muslims who were being tortured? What would he tell them? What would he tell them? Sabr. Very good. Yes, sabr was preached, that people were asked to have sabr. They were asked to have patience. Alhamdulillah. So this was just a few glimpses of our review from the last time. Now, inshallah, let's focus and continue. Shirk is the biggest sin. Yes, excellent, Laisa. That was one thing which I missed asking, but that is excellent as a reminder. Shirk is the biggest sin, and sometimes we commit shirk knowingly, unknowingly by ourselves. So we will see if we have time left. We will come back to the sharings towards the end. Let's continue now. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We have a very interesting chapter today called The Boycott of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. What is the meaning of boycott? Does anyone of you know? I will open the chat so you can quickly type. One, what is the meaning of boycott? You can quickly type in your answers if anyone knows. Your chat is open. Criticize, avoid, okay? You don't know, Abdullah, that's okay, no problem. When you are isolated and that you are avoided, leave, no contact. Excellent. Yes, you guys are all typing the correct answers. It is like when no one wants to interact, when no one publicly, privately, they want to come and contact, they want to interact. They just ignore and they pretend that that person just does not exist. That's called boycott. They are socially boycotted, that no one is coming even close to them. And what happened? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's a very big emotional torture. It's not a physical torture, but it's emotional torture when a person is boycotted. And let's think that when our parents say, I'm not talking to you, It emotionally hurts, right? When someone says, I'm not talking to you. And imagine that time, every single person in the Makkah, they said this to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his companions, we are not talking to you. And they were initially, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Sadiq Amin, very friendly, very loving person. And as soon as he accepted Islam, everything just changed. So what happened? After the boycott happened, when the boycott started, what happened was Islam's teaching grew and many people in Arabia were becoming Muslims, and this made Kuffar worry a lot. The reason for boycott was that they were scared that Muslims are growing. So what they do? They couldn't do anything else except thinking, okay, let's just make them isolated and let's just not talk to them. So once no one would talk to them, no one would accept Islam. They were scared and they did not want to change their old ways of worship. But that's not the point. Even if you talk, you don't talk. Islam is something which is going to spread and it will spread. So to stop the spreading of Islam, Kuffar decided to persecute the whole family of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they decided to boycott Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his fellow companions. And the fellow companions are called Sahaba. And what happened then? The people of Makkah, the Kuffar of Makkah, thought that if we will put them in isolation, they will not come in contact to anyone. And like how we did last time, as soon as people started accepting Islam, they would go ahead and they would teach it to others. They would preach it. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he preached Islam, immediately, right away, 10 people accepted Islam. And so those 10 would go and talk to more 10. And so the numbers, we can imagine, the numbers kept on growing. And so the believers were like, the kuffars were like, if we boycott them, if they are socially boycotted, that no one talks to them, no one meets them, then Islam would not grow anyway. Eventually they will give up. So after 3 years, how much time? 3 years, the kuffar forced Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family and his companions to live in a hot, dry valley near Makkah. Imagine Makkah being Saudi Arabia, being a desert, it was already very hot. And then they were forced to even evacuate their own homes from the city, from the town, and go to this valley. And no one from Quraysh would talk to them. No one would sell them anything and no one would support them. So basically they had no jobs, no money, no transactions, no ways or no resources to buy food or groceries, no way to go talk, forget about mingling and socializing. It was like completely isolation. And that isolation definitely would bring a lot of damage. And they thought that, they saw that when physically torture was not enough, when they would physical torture the new Muslims, they would beat them and they would torture them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say that it's okay, have patience and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy on you. And when the first martyrs, Sumayya and Yasir radiallahu anhuma, when they were martyred, what happened? The kuffar realized that beating and torturing is not helping. They are so strong in their faith that physical torture is like nothing for them. So what next can be done? And so they decided to do this emotional torture. And they said once no one would talk to them, they would not have anything to eat, they would not have anything to drink, they would not have proper homes, shelters to live. What will happen? Eventually they will give it up. And how long they stretched this time of boycott? For 3 years. Imagine, 3 years. For us, if we have to fast one day, and the day is long and no food and water, how much drained we pretend to be at the time of iftar, right? How much food and how much nutrition we give to our body at the time of suhoor, thinking for next 12, 14, 16 hours we are going to fast, and so we need to stock up well on our nutrients for our body. We are so much careful, and alhamdulillah, we are so much spoiled also by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have so many blessings. And like how we did in the surah today, that al-hakmu takasur, it's the wanting of abundance, the always wanting of more for us today. But back then, for 3 years, they had nothing to eat and drink. Imagine how would they have survived. The Muslims had almost no food and water during this time and started becoming very weak. Obviously, they had no nutrition, no nutrients going to their body. They started becoming weak and sick. But still, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companion were very strong in faith by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they did not give up. Imagine what would they be eating. And there are so many narrations that justify that they would eat the leaves of the trees. The leaves. And what kind of trees grow in a desert? Right? It's not like the nice fancy trees or the shrubs that we have that grow vegetation. No. They would be what? Cactus? Right? Sort of aloe vera, cactus. Those kind of things only grow in the desert. And what would they eat? They eventually started eating those things to survive because they had no food. They wouldn't have breakfast, lunch, dinner, supper, and snack all day. They would probably have one sort of meal, that to whatever available, that to such dry leaves, or whatever was there. And but still with all those hardships, what was their faith? They were very steadfast in their iman. They were very steadfast. They didn't give up. And imagine today with a little bit of hardship, what's the first thing that we do? We give up. When it's salah time, we are outside and we are scared of the people and say, oh no, we cannot pray here. It's okay to let go of the salah. That's the most easiest thing we have acquired today. We have adapted today that we let go of our iman. We let go of our faith when hardship strikes us. And subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, they were so strong that they would adapt to the hardships, but they would not let go of their faith. And then finally, after 3 long years, imagine 365 days into 3 years, 3 long years, Muslims came out of the valley, and the kuffars realized that Muslim will not change their belief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how they tried, physical torture, emotional torture, whatever they did, the kuffar eventually realized that Muslims are, mashallah, very strong in their faith. They would not give up. And what happened? The boycott made companions sick and weak, like we learned. And soon after the boycott ended, because of no food, no enough nutrients, the wife of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Khadija radiallahu anha, she died. She was the first believer and she died. And then Abu Talib, he didn't accept Islam, but he was there as a big helper, as a protector for Muslims, and he was Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's uncle, and even he died in this year. So subhanAllah, the 3 years of boycott was already a big emotional stress. And right after that, what happened? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beloved wife, the wife who would always comfort him, who would not nag or be cranky around, she would be nice and she would calm him down if he would be stressed. And what happened? She passed away. She returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Talib, who used to protect believers, he also returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very sad after the death of his beloved wife and his uncle. And he was so sad that the year when boycott ended is also known as the year of pain. It's called Amul Hidha, the year of pain. Now imagine 3 years of boycott. After the boycott, the second immediate stress, the emotional stress was that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wife and uncle returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So back to back, he was tested. And why was he tested? He was tested because he was a loving soul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he was tested, what did he do? Upon receiving news of someone, okay, before we continue, just a quick note for ourselves that whenever any unfavorable news come, or we hear about anyone's death, or we hear any news that do not make us happy, what do we say? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Why do we say this? To Allah we belong and to His is our return. Why do we say this? We say this because this is a reminder for us, right? This is a huge reminder for us that no matter what, everything is going to be connected back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how we did for our surah today, don't be scared, be prepared, right? It's such a nice motto of our life, that no matter what happens, even any sad news comes, any unfavorable news comes, any news of any loving or any near ones from our family, friends or community passes away, yes, it is their turn today, it will be our turn tomorrow. And so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be prepared, not scared. And so if we go back to the story, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was very sad that his uncle and his beloved wife passed away, and that year was too much of grief and pain for him. And what happened next? Why was he tested? back to back so many tests, in physical torture, then emotional torture, then his loved one returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And things kept on happening. And why did this thing kept on happening? Because of the faith and patience they had in them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests all of us with hardship and sadness at some times in our life. It could be with whatever, it could be different tests, but what is a believer's attitude towards these tests? We never get a single connection from anywhere of from the Quran or Sunnah. The Prophet or any of his companions, they grieved and they said the words that would not make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. Why me? Why mine is taken? Why I can't get it? Why it's always done to me? No, they never said that. They always stood steadfast with their faith. Why? Because they had strong faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why was Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tested? He was tested because he is also a human, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him with so many different tests, so many different hardships, and few we already learned. And bismillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us time and health that we can learn more about his life. And so the lessons learned from our today's story is that no one can stop the learning and spreading of deen and Islam, no matter what. How much anyone can try, it is still going to happen. No one will be able to stop it. When faith is strong, a believer is able to survive in all situations. No matter what, the believer would never say, why me? No, that would be a statement a believer would never say. Why? Because their faith is so strong that it's okay, it's me, and inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It's someone else done today, and it will be mine sometime soon. In pain or unfavorable situations, or upon receiving unfavorable news, I will remind myself about my final destination. And what is our final destination? Your text is open, so go ahead and start typing that. What is everyone's final destination? Our final destination is Jannah. Very good, Samia. Very good. Heaven. Alhamdulillah. And for that, we have to pass all the tests and trials that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us in this life. And Allah tests everyone with either bounties or hardships. The tests always don't come in the shape of hardships. Remember, the test also comes in the shape of bounties. And I have to be consistent in my faith. And there's this beautiful reminder that I took for myself and for all of us, that when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot in his happy time, okay? Remember, the person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot in his happy times, his call to Allah in his sad times is accepted. So, in other words, if we just take it as an explanation, the dua of sad time is accepted for those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the happy times. We all are in our happy times, so make sure that we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. Inshallah, bismillah, we will move on. Sister Aisha and Ahmed Mustafa are ready with us. So let's continue and let's see what new dua we are going to learn today. If you guys have any question, any concern, definitely write it down. And inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the time to continue and answer all the queries for anything that you had from today's session. Jazakumullahu khayran kathiran kathira. And Sister Aisha and Ahmed Mustafa, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, my dear and all my dear friends.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everybody.
Alhamdulillah, so we are back again, and I'm sure you all are having a wonderful time in this lockdown with your Ramadan, and you know, just creating all the new avenues that you probably never thought that you will be doing, because most of the time we are busy with other things. But alhamdulillah, Allah has given us a chance. You can't hear me? Can you hear me now? So alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this chance, a beautiful chance in the month of Ramadan. And I feel so blessed. Just before the Ramadan started, I was like, Ya Allah, please, 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 please let me be there till the month of Ramadan. Because, you know, with all these things that are going on, all these things that I was hearing and happening, you know, you're just becoming more close to Allah. And then you're praying that, and you're making the dua that that you know you're close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're able to fulfill this this beautiful thing and you're able to pass. So with this, I'm going to share a beautiful dua today, which is again a dua that you know probably you all already know, but it's just a reminder the importance of this dua that we're going to do. And this dua is about, can anybody guess? Oh, you cannot hear me?
Maybe their volumes
are... Can you all hear me now? Okay, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So it's actually the dua that you're going to recite, that we all recite after we break our fast. Okay, let's come to the dua and then we'll talk a little bit more about this dua. So, inshallah ta'ala. Before we actually read this dua is so beautiful. Just imagine that you are fasting the entire day. For some of you, you must be fasting the first time. Some of you, maybe the second or third time. Maybe you have been fasting last year or a year before that. But for some, maybe it's your first fast. Maybe it's too hot where you live. Maybe, you know, the days are too long in some of the countries where you are. And the fast is really, really, really long. And if inshallah, if someone can please put the chat on hold for right now, because I get distracted. When I see so many chats, I get distracted. Inshallah, I'm going to come back to you, inshallah, once I'm done talking. Remember the first time we talked about that when someone is saying something, we all should listen. Even if it's typing, we should all listen because that helps, right? Remember about the blessing Sister Julia was talking about, that this is also a blessing and how we use our blessings? Okay, inshallah. So I was actually thinking that for some of you, it's probably the first time. And when it's the first time, it's usually hard. It's very, very hard. Just imagine you're hungry. You're not used to being hungry. You're all the time, you know, filled with all kind of ni'mas that you can think of. Your fridge is always full with good stuff, whatever you want. You just go and like Ahmed Mustafa, he likes to go and open the pantry and take out what he wants and so on and so forth. So we all have these privileges, right? When we want to drink, we can just go and drink and whatever kind of water or drink or juice we want. We, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, we have this opportunity and we are able to do it. But imagine that you're not able to do that and the day is too long or it's too hot and you're hungry, you're really hungry and you're not used to it and you're thirsty and you're really, really, really too thirsty. So much so that I know a very beautiful friend of mine, he's also 11, and he kept his fast, and it was his first fast, and that's why I could relate. It was not Ahmed Mustafa though, but somebody I know. And that child, just right before the fast, you know, because he couldn't take it anymore, it was so hard for him that he started crying. He just could not take it because he was so hungry and so thirsty. And just imagine, the mother prepared all kind of good stuff, you know, like there was biryani, there was fruit chart, there was
cake, brownies,
and there was haleem, and all kind of good stuff was there, and there he goes, it's his first fast, he's fasting, and instead of being happy, and of course he must be very, very happy, but because it's a human nature, he could not take the hunger and thirst, and he was so much there, that looking at all this ni'mah in front of him, just 5 minutes before the fast, he could not take it and he started crying. Now the crying was with gratitude that, Ya Allah, you have blessed us with so many things and right now we cannot eat it, but in 5 minutes I will be able to eat it. So that gratitude plus happiness. So there was this happiness in him that he was so happy that in after 5 minutes I will be able to eat all this and my throat will get all wet and I will feel nourished and, you know, and so on and so forth, and my hunger will be gone. But you know what Allah says, and this is what the dua is all about. So let's do the dua, and then inshallah, we'll talk more about it. Ahmed, so are you ready for the dua?
Yes.
Okay, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ذهب السماء
ذهب السماء
وابتلت العروق وثبت الأجر
ثبت الأجر
إن شاء الله
إن شاء الله.
What does it mean, Ahmed Mustafa? Can you read?
It means the thirst has gone and the veins are moist and the word is assured of Allah.
SubhanAllah. Now, imagine the scenario I just told you about this young child that I know. And now just look at the dua, and you would be able to relate with this dua, even when you are fasting. So once you take that one bite of the date, once you take that one sip of your favorite drink, which could be water, how do you feel? This is what the dua is about. Your thirst is gone and your veins are moist. What are veins? If you look at your arm, you would see these blue kind of lines, you know. Can you see? This is the lines or the veins where the blood flows. So the veins are moist. So the veins are moist means when you take the fluid, your veins get also happy, very happy. Now, as a doctor, I can tell you, because there are times when people are dehydrated and they have not drank water and we have to put an IV line onto them. We cannot put an IV line, or IV line means something that you put in the vein to give them food or fluid or whatever. So if they're dehydrated, it's very difficult to find the vein. You cannot find the vein. It's very, very difficult. But when the person is hydrated, has water, it's very easy to find the vein and put the IV line and maintain the fluid and so on and so forth. So the veins are moist when you drink the fluid. And then the last part is beautiful. The reward is assured if Allah wills, which means that your reward is with Allah and it is assured if Allah wills. What does that mean? Now you imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan, because He has put you in this situation. It's a test for you, but at the same time, it's for your cleansing. Remember the detox we sometimes our mothers are talking about or we are hearing on the television? It's actually a detox program, not just for our body, but for our souls. Absolutely, and you're absolutely right. So it's a detox program for our souls. So when Allah says the reward is assured, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it says, and so let me share with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Ramadan, Allah tells the paradise, the Jannah, beautify this paradise for my servant. Like, make it more beautiful, make it more beautiful, because this servant of mine who is fasting, I will give him the reward. So for him, the reward is nothing else but
Jannah.
So when you give a reward to somebody, when you give a gift to somebody, what do?
You say thank you.
You say thank you, like you say thank you. But what do you do when you give the reward? You make it more beautiful, right? Like a gift. How do? It? You pack it, you make it beautiful. For example, if it's a gold, what do you call it? A medal. Like then you give a medal or you give a trophy. What do? You try to pick a trophy that's very Gucci and, you know, it's made up of gold and it's really beautiful.
Or a necklace.
So the thing is, when you give a reward to someone, you try to give it in the most best way. So when Allah wants to reward you, of course, it's Allah's reward. It's not the reward that me and you or your mom or your dad or anybody else gives to us. It's the reward that Allah gives. So you can imagine that Allah is someone who's created the universe, the skies and the earth. So His reward is something that is unimaginable. You cannot even imagine the reward that Allah gives you. But Allah tells His servants that I actually beautify the Jannah for you. Like I tell the Jannah, beautify yourself, make yourself even beautiful, because this is for my Abd, who is
servant
and who's fasting. So when you're fasting, and that's why Allah says the ajr of everything, of course, is calculated. For example, if you read Quran, the one letter has 10 blessings and so on and so forth. If you do this, there's a reward of 70 times and so on and so forth. But for fasting, Allah says the reward lies with me, which means it's up to me. I will give as much as I want to. So there is no amount related to it. So it's with Allah. Allah gives you the ajr. So next time, also remember one thing, because it's a very, very crucial point. And our Prophet ﷺ said that there are three du'as, and it's in Ibn Majah, Hadith 1753 or 1752, Allah says, the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah has told that there are three people that who will make dua, their dua will never be rejected. Just remember this word, never, ever, 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 ever be rejected. What are those three people? The first one is a person who's about to break his fast, but before breaking his fast, he make his dua. Just remember that beautiful child of mine that I was telling you. He's hungry, he's thirsty, and there are 5 minutes remaining to break his fast, so he's about to break his fast. but he's so hungry that he's crying. Now, during his crying, if he raises his hand and also makes the dua, which he really, really wants in life and for hereafter, Allah will never, ever, 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 ever reject that dua. Never. Just never. Just remember this thing. So that is a beautiful time. So when you're about to break your fast, say Bismillah. Make this beautiful dua before you break your fast. Whatever dua it is, because Allah will never reject that dua. And what are the other two people that Allah doesn't reject that dua? The second one is a just ruler, which means justice is very important. A just ruler. And the third person is actually someone who has been wronged, right? An oppressed one. And that makes the dua, Allah always accepts it. So don't forget, inshallah, today when you break your fast, just before breaking your fast, make sure, Ahmed Mustafa, and remind me as well, that we sit and we make dua so that we know, because we know for guarantee, it's sure that Allah will accept that dua. Now with this, we'll just finish off reading this dua that we say after we break our fast three times so that inshallah we remember it. And let's share it with our family in case you, someone like who's little, who doesn't know the dua, you can share with them or anyone in your family. Ahmed, are you ready? Okay, go ahead.
ذهب الزماء فابتلت العروق وثبت الأجر إن شاء الله.
Let's do it together. Okay, let's do it with the meaning. Zahaba means?
Gone.
Az-zama'u?
Is the past.
Wabtallat?
And moist.
Al-uruqu?
All the voids.
Wasabbat?
And assured.
Al-ajr?
It is the reward.
In
if.
Inshallah. Allah wills. Okay, let's do this dua together, Rahman Mustafa. Bismillahir Rahman Rahim. ذهب الزماء
ذهب الزماء
وابتلت العروق
وابتلت العروق
وثبت الأجر
وثبت الأجر
إن شاء الله
إن شاء الله.
So with this, I let you all go. Please don't forget me and Ahmed Mustafa in your duas before you break your fast today, okay? And all your beautiful teachers and your parents and your loved ones. And of course, make dua that Allah always remember us the way we remember him, because it says when you remember Allah, Allah remembers you even more. So just make this dua that whenever we meet Allah, we meet Allah in the best of our iman, inshallah, with khair. And with this, I let you go. Please don't forget me and Ahmed Mustafa in your dua. Okay, my dear children. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير وأحسن الجزاء. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الله سبحانه وتعالى give us the توفيق to use these thoughts in our life and inshallah make every action into an ibadah. Ameen رب العالمين. So let's see if we have friends. We have our pillars of iman in front of us now. And which pillar of iman do you think we are going to do next? So we did amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi. So what do you think will come next? So let's see. Excellent, mashallah, Shamim. That's day of judgment. Very well said, mashallah. So we believe in Allah, his angels, his books, and his messengers. And we believe in the day of judgment. Okay, raise your hand and you can give us the correct pronunciation. I see you typing that again. So is it Shamim? Definitely you can guide us on the right pronunciation, okay? So maybe tomorrow's class, maybe we'll have more time and you can take the mic and correct us on that, okay? So alhamdulillah, we believe in the day of judgment and that is known as Yawmil Akhir. So when we put them all together towards the end, then that will be well, Yawm al-Akhir. Yawm means day and Akhir means the last. And the belief in day of judgment makes you a very, very different person. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair, Aman, for typing it is here. Alhamdulillah. And yes, we will have then one more pillar of Iman left once we get to know this one this week, inshallah. Let's focus now and talk about the belief in the day of judgment. And I want you to start writing in your notebooks that we need to believe in this day, because this is the day where all our deeds will be accounted, no matter how good or small. Even right now, if you are writing even a single word, you will find it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not even a word comes out of your mouth and it gets written, okay? Whatever the thought process is, whatever is happening, there is nothing which is not going to be missing on in our books on the Day of Judgment, right? So when is this day coming, right? So that was a question many people had earlier also. There was a person who came and he is like, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when is this day coming, right? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the middle of, you know, a sermon, and this person said, when is this day coming? So at the end, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for this person and he said, what have you prepared for it, right? So a question for me and you is that instead of talking about, oh, 2020 is going to be the doomsday, or people talk a lot like that, if you have heard anything like that, the conversations, you can definitely type here and you can definitely reflect on what we hear usually in different places. People have all kind of things, you know, even regarding this situation, the pandemic, there were movies out there already, there were things, speculations people make, right? So instead of focusing on when that day is going to be, we need to focus on how prepared I am, right? Subhanallah. So Zasha, the Qadr, we're going to talk in next week. That's going to be a sixth pillar of Iman, okay? Yes, Subhanallah. So many movies there. So no one knows when this day will be except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And 30th Juz has a lot of surahs about that. Even the surah Al-Hakum Al-Takasur, you know, it was a Makki surah and it was reminding us that soon you will know. So kalla sawfa ta'lamun and summa kalla sawfa ta'lamun. So for many people, they keep on talking about this, but just imagine when it's your time for death, when it's my time for death. For me, the reckoning already starts, right? So the grave is going to be the first place where we're going to be. So it's not about talking about what this day is, it's about preparing for this day, right? So let's all say this together. Don't be scared, be prepared. Can you all say that? One, two, three, your turn.
Don't be scared, be prepared.
Excellent, very well said. So I'm not going to be scared, I am going to
be prepared. Don't be scared, be prepared.
Inshallah, all right? And what is the purpose of creating the Day of Judgment, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created man and jinn to worship him. He promised that those who are good, they will get the paradise, and those who are not fulfilling the commandments, they will be promised hellfire, right? So that is the day when everything will be brought forward and everything will be decided. Their deeds will be questioned. The deeds will be weighed for them on that day. Okay, so everything will be put on the scale, your good deeds, your kind word, even right now what you said on the microphone, that will also be recorded, right? So even if somebody is recording us right now or not, the everything will be weighed on the Day of Judgment. Yes, don't be scared, be prepared, inshallah. So no injustice will be done to anyone on that day, and thus we must continuously work hard to achieve the best on the Day of Judgment. Okay, it's just like a nice student like you, mashallah, who works hard. They know how to prepare for, you know, they take their work seriously, they prepare, so they are not scared of the testing day. Yes, you have the anxiety that it's going to be the testing day, you will have to perform, you will be tested, but then if you are so prepared, then you are not like scared of it, you just are anxious that everything goes well, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that we place the scales of justice for the Day of Resurrection. So no soul will be treated unjustly at all. فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ. And if there is even the weight of a mustard seed, okay, we will bring it forth. And sufficient are we as accountant. This is in Surah Anbiya 47. Your mom, dad, they are learning, they are studying the Quran very nicely. Talk to them, discuss this ayah at home. وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be the reckoner on this day. So in this world, sometimes a brother or a sister hurt you a little bit and they say something. Just stay quiet for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anybody who believes in the Day of Judgment, okay, anybody who believes in the Day of Judgment, either say something good or stay quiet. So let's choose the option that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will see everything and anything presented on the Day of Judgment. I personally feel I'm all the time on camera, right? So even the video recordings of this class, I was thinking where is the video recording? So it's like, alhamdulillah, they are going to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll find it there, right? So a question for the Yawm-e Akhir. There are so many names used for this Day of Judgment. Can you save some of those names that you have come across calling for that last day, the final day, the Day of Judgment? If you can type it in Arabic, that'd be really nice too. Excellent. Qiyama, Yawmul Hashr, very good. Yawmul Akhir, excellent. MashaAllah, Tabarakallah, very good. Mouth, okay. Hereafter, yes, in English you call it hereafter as well. So this is the Day of Judgment. We will all be gathered. My parents, my great-great-grandparents, their great-great-grandparents, everybody, Adam alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, everybody will be there. So there are about 140 times the mention of this Day of Judgment in the Quran, okay? Very good, Mustafa Wasim. Yawmi Tawabun is another name. Al-Hasra is another name. Hasra means when you are like going to be feeling sad, like wish I could have prepared something, right? Some people will be saying, Ya Laytani Kadzamtu Li Hayati. I wish I would have brought something for this day. May Allah not make this day a Yawmi Hasra for us, right? And yes, there will be prophets like that. There will be all of them there. So it's again, it all depends how is our preparation. What are we preparing to meet with? Are we preparing ourselves to meet with the good people over there, or we are working in a way that is making us prepare to meet the bad people over there? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, those people, mashallah, like you, who are striving for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be with the shuhada and the siddiqeen and the anbiya. These are levels, right? So I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the highest levels and we be with their company. So here you see there are 36 different names which are mentioned. So if you can quickly make a note of some of them. You guys are so smart. MashaAllah, you wrote a lot of them. It's incredible. So this is also known as Haqqa, and it comes in the Surah Malhaqqa, and Sa'a, which means a time frame. Then Sa'kha, which is going to be a deafening blast. Atamatul Kubra, then Ghashfiya, the overwhelming event, right? You know some of these surahs. If you have memorized some of these surahs, you can type the name of the surah that you've memorized. Suratul Qariya, right? Al-Qariya, the striking calamity. Then Waqiya, then Yawmul Akhir, Yawmul Azifa, Yawmul Ba'ath, and Yawmul Taghabun, Yawmul Talaq, the meeting, the day of meeting. So if somebody is prepared for this day is not going to be frightening, but you will look forward to this day, right? You'll be so excited to be meeting Yawmul Jama'ah and Yawmul Tanad when everybody called. And then, you know, we say in Surah Fatiha, what do we call this Day of Judgment in Surah Fatiha? Let's see if they can type that. So this is Yawmul Hisab, and you know, we talked about Hasra and Ma'ud, which is promised. It's Yawmul Waqtul Ma'loom, okay? Yes, this is Yawmul Deen, all right? And it would be Yawmul Aqeem, a very distressful day for some. And Yawmul Aqeem, a day of disaster for some people. May Allah not make us of those whose days, you know, in Surah Mulk, Allah says, so their faces will turn black on that day. May Allah make us of those who will be very, very happy on this day. So alhamdulillah, I am so proud that you guys know, mashallah, a lot of these names. And how do you think about the Day of Judgment is really important. You can either be scared or you can be prepared. So which option do you choose? Option number one, I want to be scared of the Day of Judgment. Or option number two, I want to be prepared. Yes, we are scared in the way that we want to, we hope the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but plan yourself, plan these scales from today. Like, what is a good deed? Every day when you wake up, think about what good deeds can I do today to increase in the balance, right? If your brother was leading the Taraweeh, if your sister was reciting the Quran, if she was memorizing the Quran, if mom was taking Adore Quran, if dad was working something, it will go in their accounts, right? But I need to worry about my account. I need to think about how can I increase my good deeds. And Mustafa Vaseem, if you feel that I did a bad deed and how can I, you know, get rid of it, it's very easy. Just say Astaghfirullah, repent to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is so merciful that he tells the angels to even hold on. Even when you're thinking about a bad deed, he tells the angels to hold on, and then this is written, right? So I wish we had more time, inshallah. Let's see if we have more time tomorrow, then we can brainstorm some ideas. Come loaded tomorrow to the class with some ideas. How can we increase our good deeds at this age that you are in? What are some good deeds some of your friends are already doing, and you can also start them in your life? And what are some bad deeds that some of your friends are already saving themselves from, and how you can remove them in your life as well, inshallah. All right. So a special thank you to you for being very active participants. Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you tremendously. Keep reciting the Quran, and this week focus on the dua upon breaking the fast. So today, those who are fasting can recite it. Those whose families are fasting, you can help your family learn and say it. Okay. And Surah Takasur, revise verses 1 to 4, inshallah, and talk about the Day of Judgment with your family. What's your plan? How do you plan on that day? Many families decide plan a lot of things that are around other days, especially, you know, like birthday and anniversary day and all those days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never told us to do anything about, right? And yet we make some big deal out of it. So this is the day we need to worry the most about, which is Day of Judgment. So talk about to your family today, and tomorrow come back, share your talking with us. And if you have any questions, any concerns, please don't direct them on the chat here. Direct them to hitscourse@nurulquraninstitute.com. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward tremendously the team working behind the scenes to help you learn and grow better, inshallah. And any questions, queries, again, I'm telling you not to put it on the WhatsApp thing, but go on the chat box, but direct them here so we can better address them to you and help you get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So jazakallah khair wa asanu jaza, and wal asr innal insana lafi khus illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr. By time, mankind is in loss except for those who believed, who did righteous deeds, who reminded each other of haqq, and who reminded each other of truth. Alhamdulillah. So don't forget to give mom and dad a big hug as you leave the class with du'as for everybody. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, see you tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وارحمني بالقرآن واجعله لي إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة. اللهم ذكرني منه ما نسيت وعلمني منه ما جهلت وارزقني تلاوته.